Hello and welcome to the Wednesday, December 11th, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm the recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Of course, we do have Microsoft's Patch Tuesday today to talk about, so let's jump in and start with that. First patch, MS-1396, that was the long-awaited, well, actually just about a month-old Saturday patch for the TIFF codec vulnerability. That one is not the only patch against an actively exploited vulnerability. Let's jump to MS-1398. This is another remote code execution vulnerability in Windows that is currently being used in targeted attacks, according to Microsoft. This particular vulnerability is in the Windows signature validation. Now, this is not sort of your classic code execution vulnerability, but what can happen here that a malicious binary may be validly signed. So what an attacker could do here, they can take a valid signed Windows binary and then add malicious code to it that will be executed without actually invalidating the signature. So this is sort of the other import patch now vulnerability or patch that we have this month. And then I skipped over MS-1397. That's the usual cumulative security update for Internet Explorer. A bunch of code execution vulnerabilities in this particular patch, and the exploitability is all one, which means it's easy to exploit these flaws, but there is no known exploit at this point. MS-1399, that's a remote code execution in the Microsoft Scripting Runtime Object Library. Now, this affects Windows Script, but pretty much in all versions of Windows, and it can be exploited via a malicious website. So this is also critical rated by us and critical rated by Microsoft. Just to conclude all the critical ones, MS-13105, that's a remote code execution in Microsoft Exchange Server. We hadn't that in a while, where we sort of had a critical remote code execution in a server at Microsoft. Really want to learn a little bit more about this. Now, it is in the web-ready document viewing, so it looks like you may have to actually open the document, but haven't really seen this exactly in the bulletin, but it is critical and it will execute code on the server. Let's continue with the remaining important vulnerability. We do have actually another server remote code execution. It's in Microsoft SharePoint server. That's something the user has to open. Microsoft only rated that as important. We rated this as critical on the server. Then we have the usual privilege elevation vulnerabilities in kernel mode drivers. We have that every month, so nothing really all that exciting and new here. MS-13102, that's a privilege elevation vulnerability in the LPC client server. So this is one of these RPC services. This one only affects Windows XP and Windows 2003. Other Windows versions are not affected. Then we do have an elevation of privilege vulnerability in ASP.NET. This one does affect the server, so someone able to run .NET code on a server would be able to escalate privileges here. Probably more sort of a shared hosting scenario I can think of right now. Then we have an information disclosure vulnerability in Microsoft Office. What this is really about is if someone opens an Office document, it could exfiltrate credentials that were sent to the site from which the Office document was opened. Sounds sort of like some kind of cross-site scripting, cookie stealing or so, but the exploitability is set to 3, indicating that this is pretty tough to exploit. So this is a client vulnerability because it affects Office. And whether or not you get this particular patch very much depends on exactly the version of Office and the components you have installed. It does affect Office 2013. And then finally, we do have an ASLR bypass vulnerability in Microsoft Office Shared Components. So that's another Office vulnerability, but it really only allows an attacker to bypass ASLR, which means they really need another vulnerability then to actually cause any damage. And this affects Microsoft Office 2007 and 2010. And then, of course, we do have updates from Adobe Flash Player. What else? Two vulnerabilities are being patched. With that, also Shockwave Player, another two vulnerabilities there. Shockwave affects the Windows and Mac versions. For Flash, it does affect all platforms, but exactly the version you'll get depends on the platform that you're using. So Linux versus OS X versus Windows. Be very careful how you update Flash. Only update it from Flash itself. Actually, just before I record a podcast, I was in the midst of looking at yet another sort of Facebook phishing style exploit that did try to install a fake Flash update. This has become a real problem for users trying to figure out what's real and what's wrong. And then we have a couple more seconds left here for something else, and that's a diary by Rob. Great little tool here, HashID. HashID is meant to identify what hashing algorithm was used. So, for example, the length of the hash depends on whether MD5 or SHA-1 or such is being used. And then you have these typical sort of Unix hashes and such. This tool does understand a pretty wide variety of hashes. So if you have a database, for example, and you want to make sure it's sufficiently hashed, then this tool will certainly be helpful. And if you read the comments to this post, we had a couple of readers suggest additional tools that do similar things. So that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Sorry, yesterday I made the wrong podcast live. Some of you may have gotten actually a week old podcast, but I hope I'll get it right this time. Thanks and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.